Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Hey everybody, I'm Reagan Gilliland.
And I'm Stephanie Reed Meyer.
And this is Off to Script, the podcast where every week we look at our last sermon and talk about the theology behind it. We discuss things that are relevant to the sermon, sometimes not relevant to the sermon, but still funny nonetheless. And today we're excited because we don't have Chris, we have Stephanie. Now we love Chris, but it's fun. So Stephanie, are you nervous? How are you feeling about being on a podcast?
Yeah, podcasts are cool, right?
Yeah.
I always make fun of my husband. He does fantasy football podcasts.
Oh, that is nerdy.
That's nerdier than this.
Yeah, my husband has listened to a Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
Oh, Ashley would love that.
I know, she would. On like a road trip, and I had nowhere to go. I just had to sit and listen to it.
Yeah, you needed your headphones or something.
I did, but this will be more interesting than that.
I think so. I hope so.
Yes. Great. All right. So what are we talking about today, Stephanie?
We are talking about service. So we are on week two of stewardship, right? And we are talking about serving others, which is something this church does pretty well, I would say.
I think so.
We have a whole department called
Serving Others.
Yeah.
So I'd hope we don't do false advertising.
Correct. It's important to our church and hopefully not just to the collective church, but to each of us too.
Yeah.
So the sermons.
Yes.
It is sometimes easy to talk about service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love what you started with, Reagan. You talked about, instead of saying I love you meaning a lot, that actually can I help you means more.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, obviously hearing I love you, that's a pretty incredible thing, especially when people actually mean it.
Right. Don't downplay I love you.
Yeah. Don't downplay it. But I think there's something about... we can say I love you, but to actually kind of show it and to actually like follow through with it. And I know you're familiar with like the five love languages, and a lot of people are. Correct me if, let's see if we get them. Words of affirmation, touch, gifts, service, and
time.
There it is.
It's important.
It is important, which we actually talk about later. But so I know not everyone feels really loved by being served, but I think there is something action oriented about like actually doing something, especially when serving someone, helping someone. I mean, it takes time. It's not always easy. It's not glamorous. It can be challenging. And so I think it really pushes us to actually do something. And I think, that's really, really, really important. And I know that for some reason, a lot of us have trouble asking for help.
Yes.
Extreme, which we could probably talk about that a lot. And then sometimes I think often we say, well, let me know if I can help you. And we actually don't do anything.
Yeah, it's like dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot. But what if you say, can I help you? Or tell me what I need to do? You know, like actually meaning it, I think.
Yeah. And I think it goes both ways because I find myself doing things that I know need to be done. So in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm helping out because I'm doing this thing.
Uh-huh.
But nobody asked me to do it. And my heart is not in it. I'm doing it because nobody else is doing it. And I'm kind of mad about it.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that intention behind it really matters.
Yeah.
Why are you doing it? And does it count as service if your heart isn't in it?
Yeah.
Can you fake it till you make it?
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, that's hard. I think that I've done a lot of mission trips with youth. And so seeing them, sometimes they don't want to be out there and they complain a lot. Love you guys. but I think the more they do it day by day, the more meaningful it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something to the fake it till you make it.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if that's biblical though.
I don't know where that is in the Bible. Fake it till you make it.
We'll ask Chris.
Okay, great. Okay. What else? What other question do you have, do you think?
Yeah. So you talked about holy living.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us more about what you mean when you talk about holy living?
So if you read in 1 Peter, that's kind of a heading, I think, above like, I mean, it's in chapter 1. So I think it's above heading like 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And so the whole letter of First Peter is really talking about how people once were before they placed their faith in Christ, that their lives look very differently. And he kind of names things that you used to do. People that don't know who Christ is, how they continue to live. And now that you've been called out of that, your life has to look different. I talk about in my sermon, you know, how we think, how we speak, how we react, all that should be different. Not always the case. I don't know about you. I'm like, I should know better, but we should look differently. And so there's this different kind of living. So he labels it as holy living. And I do think we probably have different opinions of what holy living is.
Definitely.
But naturally, I think things that come to mind are like prayer and worship and fasting and serving. And so I think this whole day of holy living, it is, it takes effort. It takes discipline. It's a harder road, in my opinion, I think for sure. And so Peter kind of, or the letter really talks about kind of the basis of holy living is really rooted in how we love and how we serve one another. And so that's kind of how we, you and I kind of picked this verse together for this sermon. So
yeah, and I like that too, because I think about in the Apostle Peter's time that they weren't going out on mission trips. Like, that's not what service really meant to mm-hmm. them. Instead, service meant this relational ministry with other people.
Yeah.
And so I think that as Christians, sometimes we get this definition of service that is a little different than what is intended in scripture like this, whereas it's more building that relationship and caring deeply for someone else. Those early disciples, I mean, in Acts, you know, they shared everything they had.
Yeah.
That's an act of service. Mm-hmm. And so seeing service in kind of a different light, knowing you have enough time to serve, because it can be as simple as having time to talk to someone that usually you would turn away from and avoid.
Yeah.
That can be an act of service. And sometimes service is more impactful on us than the person we're intending to serve.
Yeah. Oh, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So one thing I didn't talk about, so this would be something that would be on like the cutting room floor if we're talking about things that we didn't fit into our sermon. I think, again, going back to that, the early church, you know, they weren't going on mission trips, like you said. They weren't.
I mean, I don't think they were.
They weren't doing their volunteer hours.
No.
You know.
For school. I don't think they were required.
No. To get their Eagle Scout and all that. But I think we forget that, because serving really is rooted in love, is that that can start right in our home.
Yeah.
And so I understand this concept, which we will probably start talking about in a little bit, is the concept of time and how it's kind of limited. But how we can really serve those in our home or just our neighbors, you know, like our literal neighbors. But I think, you know, I don't like serve my husband in that, like, let me serve you. Let me be in the kitchen.
The Apostle Peter may have something to say about that.
but there is something that I know that because I love my husband and I love my children, I know it's this deep calling of like how I show love to them is caring for them and serving them. And, you know, as much as I hate putting together lunches every day for my children, chopping up all the food, it's so annoying.
They must eat.
They have to eat. But when I think about, like, this is my way to serve them and love them, it's like, it is this, like, holy calling. It's this thing that I'm so thankful for. I have gratitude for. And so I think when we start to change our viewpoint about things we just do in our own home and think of like, this is an act of service because it's an act of love, I think maybe we won't get so crabby about all those chores and things that we always have to do. I don't know about you.
No, I agree. I will say that it's easier for me to have that kind of heart when I'm doing things that benefit my child versus my husband. Because I'm like, oh, he's a baby.
Yep.
I must help him.
Yeah.
And so I think that's been really helpful too. So I'm a new mom. And so me and my husband are trying to balance how we do this whole parent thing.
Yeah.
And I found that we are a lot more likely to serve one another now than we were before, because we kind of feel like we're in the same boat. Mm-hmm. We are going through the same things. I mean, we have different emotions and that sort of thing, but we really get where we're at. And that's been kind of beautiful. So I think there's this aspect of service too that brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
And that can start in a household or in a community with neighbors, whatever that looks like, but this kind of connectedness.
Yeah. So I talk about briefly in my sermon about, you know, serving is choosing others and when we want to choose ourselves. So since becoming a mom, since you brought it up, has it been interesting to be like, oh, I always have to choose you? Has it been a have you seen that shift?
Yeah.
So talk about that.
I used to really love naps, and now I don't know when I had a last nap. I could tell you typically every
week. You don't
sleep
in your office?
I should.
This is confession. I've taken many naps at Lover's Lane United Methodist Church when I worked there.
Yeah.
Whether when I was pregnant or like a new mom.
So if my door's shut, I could be napping in there.
Yeah, it's pretty light in there. I had an office at Lover's Lane that had no windows and it was super dark.
It was like made for you that.
And there was like some sort of unit outside my door that hummed. Like it was a like really loud white noise. Also, I'm pretty sure if it caught on fire, I wouldn't be able to get out because there was no like escape route. That's another story. But it was great for napping.
We're not sending the fire marshal to Lover's Lane.
Yeah, don't do that.
Cool. Yeah, so I think just focusing on someone other than myself, and I have to, right? Like this is a newborn.
Yeah.
Like there's no other option. Mm-hmm. I can't choose myself over him. I feel like maybe when he's a toddler, I can get away with a little more like, let's both nap and maybe get some naps in that way. Mm-hmm. But it's really been a shift for me. And I, working in youth ministry, I would hear parents all the time, but I didn't know what it was like to be a parent.
Yeah.
And so it's been really interesting to see kind of the full picture and how my idea of service has even changed and is evolving, because I think throughout our lives it's going to.
Yeah. So again, being a new mom, you're tired.
All the time.
All the time. It's very hard juggling work and a baby and your husband works and all that. And so your time is very limited.
For sure.
So how do we encourage people, because we're all busy, we all have things. How do we encourage people to continue to serve, especially let's go outside the home when time is so limited? Like what's the encouragement? How do we do that?
Great question. I think we really have to prioritize it. I think it's back to this whole stewardship thing from the beginning. We're not talking about money necessarily today, but time is almost just as valuable to us as money.
Yeah.
And so how do we prioritize that to glorify God? So what does that look like in our lives? And it doesn't have to be an hour long at the food bank type of service. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's the first step. The most important key is kind of stretching our definition of service, because could our prayers look like service? Mm-hmm. Could the way we interact with people look like service? That's kind of the thread I'm on, just because I think that's the easiest first step. And then if we really struggle with finding time for service, I think we can do it, like we said, in our household or community. But that it's also really important here at the church. We have a ton of ways to get plugged in, and it fits all different time frames. I mean, you could come up here in the atrium on a Wednesday afternoon and write letters for 15 minutes if you want. So we have all these different options, hopefully to get people, get their feet wet.
Yeah. Like the pumpkin patch right now.
Or you could serve at the pumpkin patch.
It is beautiful outside.
It's beautiful and it's hopping. There are people there all the time.
I know. Often when I'm like leaving work, cause we leave mid afternoon because childcare, and then we work at night. So, but I'm like, oh, I want to work at the pump. I want to work at the pumpkin patch, but then I have my two kids and it's a little awkward, but I'm looking to volunteer this weekend. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So there are all these different ways. I mean, even if, so like I said earlier, mission trips are always like, oh, that's the service way. Some people really don't feel like that's their gift.
Yeah, I talk about that in my sermon, that I don't like mission trips.
Oh, see, I love mission trips, but I know there are people who really don't like them.
I don't, but I still go on them.
Right, and you can still do them. And I talk in my sermon that I painted the interior of a house for a whole week once that nobody lived in on a mission trip. And I felt really defeated, like I wasn't doing anything. And so I kind of challenge myself to think of if painting was like a gift from God that I had in that week, even though I would never sit here and tell you painting is one of my gifts. But in that moment, I had the time, I had the ability to paint, and that's what was needed in that moment. And so the idea that God gives us these gifts to serve is kind of a really important thing to think of too. What are you good at, or what are you not so good at, but mm-hmm. you could still do and benefit someone else or some community?
Yeah. Looking at First Peter again. Yeah. So I love that it says, you know, that God gives each of us gifts, you know, and I think we would believe that we all have different gifts.
For sure.
Why do you think people hesitate or use excuse like, well, I'm not good at that, or, you know, why do you think people are so hesitant to serve or live their gifts, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's just a confidence thing. I think, especially in America, we think we need to be really good at the things we do, mm-hmm. Or you shouldn't be doing them. And so when we think, oh man, I'm not really good at that, I shouldn't serve in that way, it seems like that's what culture tells us.
Yeah.
But the idea that we could still come up here and do something, even if we're not the best at it, we're still doing something. It's still in Trinity Hall, our musicians have these headphones in their ears and they're like daisy chained to one another. And so like they work off the energy of another one. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So like a daisy chain is flowers linked together, like actual daisies.
Yeah.
And so it's that concept, but it's their sound machines linked together. And I think of service as being these links together. So yeah, you may think you're terrible at something and you don't want to serve, but even that little bit of service that you do could have a huge effect because it could be a part of this like daisy chain,
yeah,
if you will.
I love it.
We'll show you an image in the show notes.
Okay.
We have those, right?
Yes, totally, Ashley, right?
Okay,
cool.
No, I love that image. I just think some people probably one time in their life were told they weren't good at something or their gift didn't matter or wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
And that just breaks my heart because God has equipped all of us.
Yeah.
In unique ways and have gifts. And I think, like you said, I think being, I don't know if this is a problem, I've never really lived long term anywhere else. I studied abroad, but one, you know, but I think we just have in America, especially, it's like, these are the gifts or things that really matter. This is what actually makes an impact. This is what's important. Like I even think about, so this, the story of the loaves and fishes. I heard this sermon once about how like the most important person in the story was probably the mom that made the lunch that morning
for the boy
that provided. And when you think about that, I'm like, oh, it goes back to that daisy link.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Or is it the fisherman who caught the fish?
Right.
Yeah.
And so I just think that so many of us in the church, God is just waiting to like unleash your gifts and use them for building the kingdom and for, you know, stretching you and challenging and impacting people's lives. And I guess that's just my encouragement to people is to not be afraid. I don't know.
Yeah. And even if you think you're not the best at something, that doesn't mean it's still not a gift that's glorifying God when mm-hmm. it happens. Because I know even like silly things like recycling, which can totally be like a service.
Yeah.
I'll see people on Instagram that are like have compost piles or doing all this recycling stuff. And I'm like, oh man, I just set my boxes out in the recycling bin. Like I'm not as good at it. But that still doesn't mean I shouldn't do it, right? Like I'm still making this impact on the world.
Yeah.
We should all recycle, P.S.
I know my husband has hot sports opinions about that.
Oh gosh. Well, I've heard that plastic recycling is like a hoax.
It is a hoax. China yeah. no longer buys it.
Yeah.
We heard a podcast on Planet Money that was like, don't even recycle. It's not worth
now
it.
Now we're on a political podcast here. recycle things that are recyclable.
There you go.
And not plastic.
Yeah, there. I think people are like, well, again, it goes back to like, well, this doesn't matter. It won't make a big impact. And you're like, you don't know the effects.
Right.
Mustard seed, things that start small and then have this huge ripple effect.
Yeah, yeah. And I always think of who am I to limit God? Like, mm-hmm. I can't say, God, you know, I don't have that gift. It's not going to amount to anything. Like, God does huge things with little things.
Mm-hmm.
And so allowing God to work in those moments and the Holy Spirit to come alongside you and serve in moments, especially when we're in moments where you're faking it till you're making it or whatever that looks like in service, that we know that we could still glorify God, even if it's hard to see in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's really good. So what do you think is a way for people to identify their gifts?
Great question. Why don't you just take a quiz online? Like,
yeah,
no, don't do that. So to identify your gifts, I think there's a few different ways you can do so. One is just hear what people around you say. Do people tell you like, hey, you're really great at babysitting or you're really patient with kids. Like, what does that look like in your own life? Because we each have different gifts at different times in our lives. I think it's also what brings you joy. Mm-hmm. That you're doing. It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be something you're the best at. But if it's something that brings you joy, and that joy is going to overflow into everyone you serve with. And so I think those are easy ways to kind of hone in on what your gifts are, but also just try a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. See what you like, see what doesn't work, see what does. And there has to be some vulnerability in it. You have to take that first step. And yeah. We want to encourage you to do that. We have a ton of ways for you to serve here. And we really believe that service is imperative to our calling as Christians.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting. I do think it is part of our discipleship. I mean, it's part of our membership vows.
Correct.
Like, you agree to serve. And in my sermon, I talk about how, like, we, you know, we don't ask people to serve because the staff is tired. I mean, we are tired.
We are tired.
We are tired often, but we do because it really is part of your discipleship. And I think it's not obedient for us to, like, take it on ourselves. You know, I talked to actually some church members. They were at a Methodist church, but the reason they came here is because, like, well, that church, it was all, like, staff led, and, like, lay members never got to really serve and do things. And we wanted to be part of a church where, like, we got to serve. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
We want people like that.
Yeah. So kudos to Christ United for providing those opportunities. But I think it's really important for us. You know, again, we're not just doing it because, like, I don't know, like, we just need you. We need bodies in the room, or we need, like, no, like, we know that it is part of our discipleship.
Yeah, yeah. And it's part of the people's passion too, right? I think you talk in your sermon, Reagan, about someone coming in and saying, you know, I would love to start this Bible study.
Uh-huh.
And you challenging them.
Yeah.
What do you say to them?
Well, I think it's, you know, again, it goes back to people are afraid, like, I don't know why people are so scared to lead things or, like, even pray. I talk about that too. Like,
yeah.
People are like, well, I'm not good at praying. I'm like, what? I'm sorry. There's not a template. It's not like, oh, God's not like, oh, they didn't say that.
We won't give you a score afterwards.
Right. I think people need to realize, like, yes, you're not going to be the best. You may fail, but, like, if you have this passion or inquire, like, why not you?
Right.
Why not you?
Yeah.
Like, if I can go to seminary and become a pastor, like, I think there's just this comparison of, like, well, I'm not this guy. I don't have this education, or I don't have this. And it's like, again, disciples, they didn't go to seminary. They didn't do things.
Nope. We're smarter than them.
That's right. That's what, totally. But I just think that people don't need to be so scared or nervous to lead, because, again, God equips them.
Yeah. And so, I would say we equip them too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's part of our jobs as staff, is not to have passion for every single topic every layperson could be interested in.
Yeah.
So if a congregant has a passion, we want to empower you to lead, and we'll help you. We'll come alongside you.
Yeah.
But we want to build up that passion. We don't want to stifle it. And we still want all of you to come to us with cool ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that we may ask you to be a part of it.
Yeah.
It's your idea. We want you to own it and have some leadership in that.
Yeah.
And that we'll come alongside too. That is what we're paid to do. But also, it's what each of our passions are. That's why we're here. Mm-hmm. It's not just to build a great worship space, which is totally part of it. But we believe God can be glorified by serving alongside congregants.
Yeah. So I'm newer on staff. And so, you know, Christ United, we're in this big building.
Yeah.
Fantastic building. And I think people forget, like, the reason we have what we have is, yes, God did this. But it was because of people, and I've met plenty of people that are like, I'm one of the original members.
Yes.
Which I think is a badge of, like, that is a badge
so cool.
of honor.
Yeah.
But I think, gosh, all the hours that you probably have spent serving and teaching and volunteering and doing all that, like, you made all of this possible.
Yeah.
And I think people forget that, like, we didn't just get here, like, oh, we should just build a building. Like, no, it's because of countless hours of people serving and showing their gifts. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, in Christ United, I mean, it started in someone's house. People were gathered together. It wasn't about the building. It was about the ministry and the relationships and the service that people were doing together. Then it went over to Glencliff, and now we're here. And people can trace that history, which is really cool. I mean, we have a library that's, like, well-stocked. And while staff people help order books, it's volunteer-ran. I mean, they're in there disinfecting the books every day, which is so cool.
Yeah.
But also, like, we have these ministries happening already that are not staff driven. And so service can come from anyone. Mm-hmm. Even our kids can serve. Yeah. What are some ways that your kids serve?
So Jude is 13 months old, so he is kind of lazy.
He does a lot of it.
He does a lot. He's a big helper. No, but, like, I mean, my daughter, she loves to serve, and she's, you know, we've done, meal packing things. I mean, they can do, there's a lot of things they could do that. She can sort things. I mean, she can color things and write things again, like letters. Gosh, I'm trying to think of all the things she's done. She helps in the yard. Like, I could take her on, like, a mission trip and she'd be like, I'll pull weeds. I mean, she mainly just trims them. She loves, like, scissors.
With a nap, she would probably have more stamina than most people on the mission
probably.
Trip.
Probably. She does. I mean, she can go forever. Toddlers are amazing. And so, yeah, she would do, you know, we're redoing our backyard right now. And so she'll, like, move mulch, and she'll carry, like, sand, like, a mulch bag or, like, a soil bag. She's really freakishly strong.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, she's 4 and a half.
Yeah. So service isn't limited by, like, an age.
No.
Or even ability, anything like that. Yeah. That's the beauty of everything we're talking about in stewardship. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with money. Even if you have a little bit of money, it can make a big impact.
Yes.
If you just have a little bit of time, it can still make a big impact in serving if you spend that time wisely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we do talk about how time is this precious currency, and I think people get weird about stewardship in general because people are like, oh, you're asking a lot of us. And we are. First of all, it's nothing that the staff is not doing themselves. We're not going to ask you to do things that we're like, well, I'm not going to do that, because we can't lead you well if we're not doing it ourselves. But the call to follow Christ and to be a disciple is challenging, and it is hard. And so I think we should continue doing things that are challenging, that make us uncomfortable, that stretch us. And I do think too big of those things is, yes, giving our money away, because it has such a hold on us.
Mm-hmm. It's super awkward to talk about.
It is.
But we're doing it.
But we're doing it because it's important.
It is.
And time and how you offer it to others. Because, I mean, the foundation of Christian faith is, yes, love God, but, like, you're supposed to be about others. You're always supposed to be thinking about others and how you can love them. And I think we forget that is such an important call.
Yeah, that was Jesus's whole ministry, right?
Yeah.
Serving others. I just think of even Jesus washing the disciples' feet, which I hate feet. But that's a huge act of service, especially from my perspective.
Yeah.
And so the fact that we follow a God who served, not a God who just says you should serve and just kind of watches us do it.
Yeah.
But actually a God who we see on earth serving.
Yeah. Who said, I did not come to be served. I came to serve.
Right.
Right there, y'all.
Yeah. Transformational. It's huge.
Yeah.
And that's truly our calling.
Yeah.
To serve.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like we could just keep talking about serving and why it's important. But
forever.
But so what is the thing that you want to make sure the congregation really takes away from this message?
Yeah, so there's a word used in our scripture reading. Let's look at verse 10. It says, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. So we've talked about serve. We've talked about gifts. But there's that other word, steward, that I find really important. And so that's what I want the congregation that I'm preaching to in Table of Grace to take away, is that we are entrusted with these. So what does it mean to be a good steward? So we talked about identifying the gifts and actually serving. But how do we really make sure that we're doing so in a way that we're called to, in a way where we don't waste it where we don't throw it away, mm-hmm. where we're really intentional. So being good stewards of what we have. When I was a youth pastor, we would go on trips and we would stay in other churches. And I would always tell the students, we need to be good stewards of this space. Yeah. It wasn't our space. We were just using it to sleep or using it to eat or whatever the situation was. But it was entrusted to us. This church gave us space and it was entrusted to us to treat it well. And middle school and high school kids understood that. They got what it meant to be good stewards. So what does it mean to be good stewards of the gifts that we have, to cultivate them, to grow them, and to use them to kind of share love with others?
Yeah.
So that's my biggest takeaway, is I want people to understand what it means to be a good steward, and in doing so, to identify those gifts so we can serve the world. Mm. What would you say your main takeaway is in the sanctuary?
I think, oh gosh, I don't always have like a clear focus statement.
Great.
So there's that. But really the message that I just kept coming back to is that we really need to be focused on others.
How important right now too?
Very important. Very important. Because the thing is, I feel like I'm always going to be okay. I'm always going to pretty much be taken care of. And so I don't need to think about myself. I always need to be thinking about others and how I can do things and live a life that benefits other people. You know, that's one thing I'm trying to teach my daughter. And so I think for us, getting back to that foundational truth of, which is in the Bible so often, is how do we care for those around us? And often that's through the gift of serving. So that's it.
Love it. Yeah. Go forth and serve, people.
That's right. Okay, well, I think that's basically it. This was great chit-chatting with you, Stephanie.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And if you haven't got a chance, definitely listen to both Stephanie and I's sermon. Take notes, compare, contrast, whatever.
Rank them.
Rank them. It's great. But we thank you so much for joining us today on Off Script. We'll be back next week talking about transforming lives, and Chris will be back closing out the sermon series. So, Stephanie, thanks again for being here.
Thanks.
All right, Christ United, have a great week. Be safe, and we'll see you back here next week.